You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for listening. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, what causes a woman to keep coming back to her abusive partner, even after the whole world sees her getting beaten unconscious in an elevator? We'll speak with an expert. Plus, we'll see if our movie guy likes any of this weekend's releases. That and more this hour. Let's meet the friends. With her finger on the pulse of America, it's Erin Myers.
On the 13th anniversary of September 11th, many people feel less safe than before that tragedy. I'll have more on that.
I hope you're running video of this, because Jay Campadonia is here.
Are you tired of having dogs dump on your lawn and the owner not picking it up? Well, one woman is plotting her revenge.
Ooh, and with stories that are going straight to DVD, it's Chris Martin.
Phil, Florida is being invaded by a mob of poisonous caterpillars, and wait until you hear what scientists call these little monsters.
I'm waiting.
You want to hear right now? Because I'll tell you.
No, let's wait. All right, let's get things started. We'll get to those hairy monsters in a little bit. Erin, all right, of course, today is 9/11. Some 3,000 people died 13 years ago today in airliner attacks on the World Trade Center, the two towers there, also in Pennsylvania, and one in the Pentagon. And all this time later, how are people feeling about it?
Apparently, people are still very, very scared. There was actually a poll done recently by NBC and the Wall Street Journal, and they found that 47% of Americans feel less safe now than before 9/11 actually happened. Now, a record low 26% said they feel safer since then. But no matter what, those aren't good numbers. People are frightened right now. Now, the poll also took a look at, you know, after Barack Obama discussed the country's plan to address extremists in Syria and Iraq last night, 61% said they support military action against the Islamic State militant terrorist groups, but they prefer if it's airstrikes and not ground strikes. They don't want troops on the ground.
Oh, boy.
We're hearing laughter over here.
Well, that's because the average American is not a military strategist.
Okay.
Right? Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Yeah. Otherwise, they'd know better.
Right.
You gotta have reconnaissance on the ground to because people say we want more airstrikes but then ultimately what happens, you have more collateral damage and more civilians are hit. And if you don't have more intelligence on the ground, which is boots on the ground, you tend to hit more civilian targets.
You have to. You're going to get angry.
You said that much more eloquently than I could have.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I knew what you were thinking.
Angry. Yeah. People will be angry if you go after innocent people, no matter what happens. So.
Yeah. And those innocent people, the surviving ones, tend to shack up with the bad guys.
Yes,
after
do.
We hit the good guys too many times.
Exactly.
Yes,
but don't you
do.
Think, like, I know today is September 11th. Don't you think that if they are going to make a strike, if they are going to make a move, and by they, I'm just saying any sort of bad guy, any sort of terrorist, don't you think they look at the calendar and they don't care? When their plan is ready, their plan is going to be ready. They could care less if it's the anniversary of anything.
Terror is terror. You know, if today our butt cheeks are squeezed a little tighter because it's the anniversary of the attacks, then that's a small win for the terrorists because they got in our heads.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. 13 years ago and over 13 years now, people have more or less rewritten the history. And they've come up with all sorts of politically charged opinions and theories of what happened in 2011. But the fact remains that 3,000 people died because there are people out there that hate us and they want us dead. They hate our freedoms. Mm-hmm. They hate our way of life. They hate something they believe we were party to sometime way, way off in the past, and they will never let it go.
No, that's not going to change. It'll never disappear. Yeah.
So we leave this up to our government to deal with, and that's not cut and dry, as you heard the president's speech on fighting Islamic State yesterday. But we've had reaction from countries all over the world. Countries in the Middle East say you're attacking one extremist group and arming another. Others say you can defeat Islamic State, or you can't defeat them without the cooperation of countries in that region that more or less share the same ideology as the extremists. So what are you going to do? I don't have the answer. I don't know who does. And everybody's got a weird opinion about it, it seems like. And, kids under a certain age don't even know what today is because parents and teachers don't talk about it.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
That's sad. That is a jaywalking segment for the Tonight Show, if I've ever heard one, by
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. True. Well, schools are so busy with their zero tolerance policies that they can't see
far enough into the future and the past to tell the kids what's important these days.
And to the people who don't like our way of life, don't knock it till you tried it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That's right.
Just saying.
But, you know.
I just solved all the world's problems.
Yeah.
There you go.
And we're oceans apart. So why can't people just, you know, live the life they want to live? Why does it have to affect you know, anyone else?
Think of the tourism that you could enjoy, the tourism dollars. You
right.
know,
mm-hmm.
just chill a little bit and just start to, you know, we'll travel to your country and check out your ruins.
Yeah, absolutely.
all right. Oh, speaking of zero tolerance, I'm not a fan of these policies at schools. It's because they don't seem to have common sense attached to them. And you have a couple of examples here, don't you?
Well, this actually wasn't even a policy at a school. This was a security officer in Michigan. He made the decision that an Army lieutenant that was in his uniform could not enter the school because he said it may offend another student. Now, Lieutenant Colonel Sherwood Baker, he was visiting Rochester Adams High School because his daughter was going to school there, and apparently she's been having difficulty getting around the school, navigating it, so he wanted to, you know, lend some support to her, and he got turned away saying, you know, they didn't want him in there with his uniform.
Ooh,
now,
he wasn't armed, was he?
That is not here. No, it just says uniform. But the superintendent of the school district responded very quickly because he himself was a Marine veteran, and he apologized to the family. And they said that this school does not have this policy, and they are working with the administration and the firm that handles security to make sure district policies are understood and communicated accurately.
Yeah.
But when you see someone in uniform, I mean, your first instinct, at least mine, is show respect for them. You don't
right.
turn
Absolutely.
Them away.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy needs to be kicked out.
Well,
fired.
There
Goodbye.
Was he's when he was checking his profiling manual, he thought fatigues and camo equal lunatic.
Active shooter.
Yes.
That depends
exactly.
on part of the country what you were in.
Yeah, it's a security guard, so he probably got kicked out of the Army Reserve for some reason, and
oh,
now he's ticked.
Deep-seated resentment.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. loser.
All right. But you have another school story for us, Aaron?
I do. This is actually a brave little girl. An 11-year-old girl named Grace Carafa was told she couldn't use chapstick at her elementary school in
what?
Virginia.
What?
Yes, no chapstick. And apparently she has really dry lips, actually to the point where they bleed, and this has been going on for years. So she said enough's enough. She created a petition, and she actually took it to the school board herself and got up and gave them a speech. And she told them why, you know, she should be able to have chapstick, because she used to have to go and sit and put water on her lips to try to calm them down.
That's
during class.
Actually worse for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what you hear, yes.
Yeah.
So in her speech, she told the school board that they should overturn this ban. And they said, you know, this was in place for health reasons, just in case kids, you know, shared chapstick, things like that. And they asked her, this was what was really great. They said, wouldn't it be distracting if, you know, you were using chapstick in school? And she said, I think it would be more distracting to have bleeding lips while I'm doing my work.
Good for her.
So, yes, now the board is reviewing this and they will get back to her. And just like the good little girl it sounds like she is, she's actually sending thank you notes as well to all of those
good
board
for her.
Members.
And
all
and right. you know what? If chapstick is smart, they will enlist her to be one of their spokespeople.
Oh, yes. I see that in her future.
Yeah, there you
good
go.
Good for her. I love that story.
Right. Okay. And here's a story I love because I've, for years, dealt with these insensitive and what's the word I'm thinking of?
Considerate.
Inconsiderate. Thank you. Inconsiderate people who bring their dogs. Small and large, that leave small and large piles of excrement on my front yard lawn, and then they don't pick it up.
A woman in Los Angeles, Phil, is fighting back, if you will. So this has happened to her multiple times on her Los Angeles home, in her Los Angeles yard. It's a beautiful sunny day, and out here in L.A., there are tons of dogs, and there's tons of dogs everywhere. So, yes, like you said, there are piles of stuff everywhere. Now, I believe you can get a ticket if a cop sees you not picking it up here in Los Angeles, but that's besides the point. The woman now has posted a sign in her front yard and around her surrounding neighborhood, and if I may.
You're going to read what the sign says?
Oh, boy.
Okay, here it comes.
Use your old lady voice.
No. The next time you let your dog poop on our lawn and don't pick it up, I will personally follow you back to your home, wait until you get inside, pull down my pants, and take a huge dump on your doorstep and the windshield of your car. Yes!
Is there a law against that?
I'm pretty sure there is. I'm pretty sure there is.
I say forget the doorstep. The windshield of the car, that's pretty, I mean, that's a
ballsy
picture. Yeah, that's a picture you want to take.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Roll some video on that. My goodness. Well,
yes.
I must say that in my knee-jerk reaction is, I support her 100%.
Absolutely. I support her doing it. I'm not going to do it.
No.
I support her doing
right.
it. Yes.
Maybe there will be some good to come out
yeah.
of it.
You have to be a good dog owner.
You have to be.
Yes. You pick up after your dogs. I have little ones. I have big ones. And no matter my big one, let's say it's like she's a horse at times. And I always pick it up.
Oh, with a shovel.
Shovel.
Like the guy at the parade.
It's bad with that one. Lover,
bicep workout.
Yeah. Bicep workout. Man, that's...
Don't you feel like she might be encouraging some more of this behavior, too, though? Like, some delinquents are going to come by and see this sign, and they're going to be like, all right, let's go, Fido. Let's do this.
We were kind of talking about this before the show. I think, Aaron, you brought it up. Why not just take what the dog left and bring it back to the homeowner? Or the dog owner.
Yes.
You don't have to leave your own.
That seems like less effort.
This is yours. I'm giving it back to you.
Right.
I'm just going to throw it against your window.
Yeah. You know,
in order to give it back.
Exactly. Yeah. But honestly, like Aaron says, you have to be a good dog owner. Pick up the poop.
Please. All right. You've been waiting for the name of hairy monsters falling out of trees. And you're going to have to wait some more. Because Chris has the story perhaps of the week, maybe the month, coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. This is Phil Hewlett and Friends. You're listening to it. We thank you. Hi, I'm Phil Hewlett. Aaron Myers and Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin are all here. Them are the friends. And we've been waiting for some time, Chris Martin, to find out about this evil monster that is causing all sorts of problems in Florida. Of course it's in Florida.
Right.
Tell us about this.
Florida or Germany, those are the two places where these types of things happen. But yeah, in Florida, they're being mobbed by dangerous and poisonous caterpillars.
Really?
Yeah, these guys are all over the state of Florida, too. They're very common down in the Southwest, and some of these things live up in trees. These caterpillars, Phil, are known as puss caterpillars.
Really?
Yeah. They happen to be very furry caterpillars.
Yeah.
Yeah, some would even say hairy.
Hairy puss?
Caterpillars.
Oy, yeah.
Well, now the CDC is warning Floridians to stay away from these caterpillars because the hairy fur on their back, you see, it makes these caterpillars look very cute and sort of innocent, so a lot of people will come up and touch them or pet them. Well, the fur is actually venomous, tiny venomous spines that pierce the skin.
Ooh.
And reactions to the venom include itching and burning,
lovely,
followed by convulsions and vomiting.
What have Floridians done to deserve this?
And they're giant, right? Because bugs are huge in Florida, if I remember correctly, when I lived there. Like, they're gigantic.
It's the humidity.
They grow.
That's part of it. That's why the mosquitoes are so big, too. But yeah, I would say if you laid your hand out flat, one of these puss caterpillars, would fit from the edge of your wrist to the tip of your middle finger. That's how big they are. They're large caterpillars, or can get that
big.
So
you can't miss them. But you say they fall out of trees?
Yeah, they fall out of trees. They live in oak trees and citrus trees mostly. And so that's what is the most dangerous part. People are walking underneath these trees and one of these caterpillars will fall onto them, stick them with their hairy spine, and then the next thing you know, you have to seek a medical attention, which the CDC is encouraging people to do. If you get stung by one of these things, yeah, seek medical attention ASAP.
Here, you know what? It's you. When you want to put up a lemonade stand, you put it right in front of a bunch of thirsty people. So I'm going to open up Harry's Puss Caterpillar wide brim hats.
Right.
I'm going to start selling those at street corners.
For when you walk in Florida.
So, yeah, anywhere you walk, you wear this wide brim hat. So when you hear something on your hat that goes boom, you take the hat off real quick and shake it off, step on that hairy puss.
And then carry on about your business.
Yeah.
And people actually want to pet these, though. I mean, as an animal person, I would never want to pet a caterpillar.
They're kind of docile looking. They don't look dangerous.
Come on. We all picked up the little black furry caterpillar when we were little. Let it walk around on our hands, right? And then you squeeze it and the green stuff comes out?
No.
No?
We didn't go that far.
Of course, it dies when you do that.
By the way, at maturity, these hairy puss caterpillars turn into feathered flannel moths, and they're no longer venomous.
Feathered flannel?
Feathered flannel moths.
So you can pet the moth, then?
You can, yeah. Okay.
And ultimately, there's a fashion statement. Is that what you're saying?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I didn't get a picture of what the moth actually looks like, but I'm sure it's colorful.
The latest in style.
All right. Yeah. Well, apparently, Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy for 30 years, or more than that, actually, likes the fashion statement that the hairy puss caterpillar makes. And so for that reason, he is growing back his facial hair.
Oh.
See, in 2001... he shaved off his awesome mustache, which handsomely adorned his upper lip for more than 30 years prior to that. So it took him over a decade, and he realized that it was a grave mistake, and so he's bringing it back for the time being at least. He says, quote, "I shaved my mustache on a whim this year. I had a 2.5-month period where we were not taping a show, so I grew it back on another whim. I like to keep my life simple."
Yeah. Do you guys watch Jeopardy at all?
Oh,
tonight,
I do.
Tonight is going to be must-watch television.
Epic.
For Jeopardy. Yeah. Because
yeah.
Ken Jennings is facing off against two of the other brightest Jeopardy contestants to ever play for $1 million.
Battle of the Decade.
Battle of the Decades. Yeah. And Ken Jennings has pretty much buzzsawed the competition, but he's facing a couple of other really intelligent guys. So.
Now, I don't watch it that often. The GF says that he's kind of arrogant. Sure. Trebek.
Trebek? Oh, yeah, sure,
like
he is.
He comes off like a total jerk.
He's been everywhere. He's done everything.
And
really?
He knows all the answers
of course.
That are on that, too.
Because he goes to the pre-show prep. Yeah. That's why. You
know? They give them to him.
Yeah. You figure he had to learn something along the way.
Yes, he did. He had to learn something. And what have we learned about cooking today, Jay?
Well, I learned that the holiest of grails is now in Illinois. It is a 100-foot-long bratwurst.
Yes.
But it gets better.
Yeah.
This was the first successful 100-foot-long bratwurst ever cooked. Now, they tried to do a 50-foot bratwurst, but it kept breaking. It kept falling apart. They couldn't keep it together. So this beer company out there, well, along with 50 volunteers and the local cooling and heating company, built a trough that is 100-foot long, that is propane heated on both sides, and all these 50 volunteers slowly turn the 100-foot bratwurst.
Beer brat?
Beer brat.
Okay.
Here's the reason why they did it. They want to break the Guinness World Book of Records and create a 200-foot long bratwurst.
This is just practice.
This is practice. So what they do, they actually sold all of the remnants of the 100-foot bratwurst, and all of the money is going to go to local food pantries, which is pretty cool.
Oh, they chop that brat up and throw it in a paella or something like that?
Right? Yeah. So 200-foot-long bratwurst is coming next week.
Will you keep us up to date?
Absolutely. I'm going to Illinois. I don't know about you guys.
Are you?
I'm outie.
Will you report from the scene?
Yes.
Now with the sizzling review.
You can't talk when you're in my mouth before.
You just go in the other room and pretend you're over there.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Can you imagine that thing, though?
I can almost taste it.
What is it? Bratwurst, what's it made out of?
Everything.
Everything?
Yeah.
Whatever they sweep up off the floor of the beef.
Inside a snappy casing.
Yeah, there's different kinds of brats.
Well, just weird with it being in a trough, and that's what pigs eat out of, and they're cooking it. That's my first thought. I was like,
leave it to Aaron to catch the imagery.
Yeah.
The one that none of us were thinking of.
Of course not, because we're going with brat. Yes.
Yeah, brat. Oh, let's hear it. 100-foot long. Broad.
Is that big enough?
All right. So, is something that, you know, I guess you got to have it in the trough to do 100 feet, but if you're at the campsite, and you got a little campfire going, and then you fall asleep, You might burn your brat. Or worse, Aaron.
You might fall 60 feet off of a cliff while you're sleepwalking if you're camping.
Sleepwalking?
And yes. A guy named Ryan Campbell, who's 27 years old, I guess he and his friends were in Gray's Arch Trail in Kentucky's Red River Gorge last week when he fell asleep in a hammock. Now, he said about an hour later, he got out of the hammock and was sleepwalking while his friends watched. And he walked right over to a nearby cliff and fell off.
Oh, man.
Yes, bummer. 60 feet. And apparently, the only reason he survived is there was a bush in between all of these rocks and boulders that he landed on.
No, that only happens in cartoons.
I kid you not. They had to hoist him back up. They took him to the hospital, and he was released for a cut on the back and a chipped vertebrae, and that was it. But bad friends is all I can say.
When he landed on that bush, was there like a little condor nest right next to it?
Yeah, right.
You know? And then the cartoon condor came up, started having a conversation with him. That's what happens, right?
Jeez.
They were that's our meal for the next few years.
You watch too many Roadrunner cartoons.
How much farther was it to the jagged rocks below where he would have died? How much farther was it? Do you know?
That was right next to him, pretty much. I mean, he landed on the bush with rocks and everything around him.
So they got him from the top and pulled him up rather than got him from the bottom.
Yeah,
and
they had to hoist him up, and all his friends, no one tried to stop him, apparently.
Well, that's amazing.
Hey, no one's stopping the big movies from hitting the theaters at your local Cineplex this weekend. And a possible blockbuster movie is swimming into town, but will our movie reviewer recommend it? Will he even like it? Well, he's next, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Go over there and like it. Join the now thousands of people who are liking it. Thanks to Erin Myers, of course, because every time we post a photo of her, the likes go through the roof.
That's so kind.
That's right. Okay, our executive producer, Mike Stark, over there, clicking away.
Oh,
and shaking his head in agreement.
Yeah, right. Hey, going to the movies this weekend? I bet you are, because there are a bunch of movies coming out, and Michael Schrago reviews movies for the Orange County Register and the Los Angeles Register, and online at losangelesregister.com. He joins us live now. Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Everybody loves a movie about a dolphin, right?
Well, you know, it's a very lovable movie, Dolphin Tale 2. It opens this weekend. You know, I thought the first Dolphin Tale was a pretty likable movie. You know, it's based on the real story of this orphan dolphin, you know, washed up on the beach in Florida and had to have her tail amputated and learns how to swim with a prosthetic tail, truly inspiring kids who've had to have prosthetics attached and veterans. It's actually a true story that's, you know, we like to call movies inspirational, but this was really an inspirational movie. And Dolphin Tale 2, I think, is even better.
Wow.
The
first one did gross like $72.3 million, right?
Yeah, no, it was a surprise hit. One of the things I like about this movie is the first movie wasn't 3D, and this isn't.
I don't know if you and I have ever discussed this, Michael, but I don't get the point of having 3D. I really don't.
In most movies, it doesn't matter at all. And in a movie like this, which really depends on kind of, you know, nature photography and actually trying to get into the point of view of a dolphin, which it really does pretty well, you're much better off without this big 3D machinery that's going to get in your way.
Now, if it were a campy movie about killer dolphins, look out, the dolphin's coming right for me, you know, then maybe.
Dolphinado.
Dolphinado.
I think the sci-fi stage is probably on that right now.
Please.
You know, Charlie Martin Smith, you probably remember as Terry the Toad, the guy who played Terry the Toad in American Graffiti. And he also later was in a classic nature movie, Never Cry Wolf. Well, he's actually the director and the writer of these movies, and he does a really good job, especially as a director. When I say the movie's from the point of view of the dolphin, it's really true. He really uses the real winter. He uses animatronic models. He uses digital stuff to make you feel as if you get a sense of what the dolphin is thinking in her capacious brain. And this movie actually has a bevy of dolphins, female dolphins.
Wait a minute. Chris Martin just fell out of his chair when you said capacious. You movie reviewers with your big words.
There you go. Well, this there are several supporting dolphins in this, but the real show stealer is this young baby dolphin, Hope. And again, it's a true story. Actually, she was found at the wrap party during the wrap party of the first Dolphin Tale movie, and the story of how she's nurtured and put into the pool with Winter, and what that does for the institution that saved them both, the Clearwater Marine Aquarium, is really engrossing, and it really is good for kids. It teaches them that you know, there are choices to make that are difficult, even in the best circumstances. Even when you're doing the best things, there's a real chance the institution will have to give Winter away because her old partner dies, and she can't be left alone without a female partner. So it really
I feel like I'm at one with dolphins now after all of this. I gotta go see my dolphin kin. You know, make sure nothing bad happens to them.
You'll do a good deed. One thing you won't be seeing is No Good Deed, probably this weekend.
Oh, really? That's the home invasion movie, right?
Right. Idris Elba, Taraji P. Henson, both, you know, terrific actors, and both with, you know, enormous followings from different kinds of television. Henson was very good on Person of Interest, and Idris Elba, of course, was great on The Wire. You know, we were all set to see that last night, all us critics, when every critic in the country apparently got a note from the distributor. This was, I think, Tuesday night it came in, saying, "We have decided to cancel the advanced screenings of No Good Deed."
Oh, no. Was that because the first screenings, reviewers laughed at inappropriate times?
Yeah, that's never
well,
good.
I don't know if any reviewers see it. That goes on to say there is a plot twist in the film that we do not want to reveal, as it will affect the audience's experiences. We apologize for any inconvenience. Well, you know, of course, they left themselves open for every critic in the country to say that the plot twist is it's just an incredibly bad movie. Yeah. But, you know, I have no idea. I mean, I you know, sometimes the studios are wrong about these things. Nothing makes me happier when they are, and you go and just think, oh, that was pretty good. What were they scared of?
I have some inside information about that plot twist. right at the brink of when you think the victim is about to die, a dolphin comes to her rescue. Hey, didn't James Gandolfini make one last movie, and isn't that coming out this weekend?
Yeah, The Drop, which is opening in a bunch of theaters, actually, too. And No. Gandolfini is really good in the movie, and so is the British actor Tom Hardy, who I'm not usually a fan of. He was, like, to me, completely impossible to understand when he was Bane in The Dark Knight Rises. But here he plays this bartender at a Brooklyn dive called Cousin Marv's, and Cousin Marv is James Gandolfini. The movie is a weird kind of hybrid. I don't think it really works, but it's fun to watch the actors and to hear the dialogue. It sort of sets off as kind of a Thug and His Dog movie because the bartender yeah, goes with the dolphin movie. The bartender finds a battered pit bull in a garbage can and adopts it, and it opens it up to life.
Aaron's pouting. You can't hear a pout on the radio, but she's pouting.
The pit bull is very cute, but then it turns around and it puts much more emphasis on what the title is about, The Drop, which is this idea that very good writer Dennis Lehane, who wrote the script, had that there would be these drop bars in every city where there's a big mob, and each night a different bar would be designated as the place where the mob drops off its take from all its rackets. So if you change a drop bar each night, and the cops and any competitors are not going to know where your stuff's going to be. And this leads into all sorts of revelations about whether the bartender is really as unblemished and nice a guy as he is, and same with Gandolfini, who seems like just a lovable loser. And to the actor's credit, they make it they make you want to watch them and reveal new things about themselves, but I don't think the movie pays off when it goes when it gets really brutal and tries to be really profound about human loneliness and universal corruption and all these other big things. So I'd say it's kind of half a fun film. Yeah. It's probably worth watching for those actors. And I just wish we were better because I'm a fan of almost everybody involved, including Dennis Lehane, the writer.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Michael Strago, I looked up the movie Skeleton Twins. It stars Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader, two of the funniest people on the planet. And it's listed as a drama. What the heck?
Well, Well, you know, it's funny. I read some of the advance reports, and a lot of people said, don't describe it as a comedy just because it has these two people in it. It actually has a serious subject. It's about two suicidal estranged twins.
That's funny.
But they are so really funny together, and the movie has a lot of humor in it. And part of it just comes from Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader, who are brilliant, knowing how to embody a brother and sister without really even saying anything, just with a look or a touch or I would say giggle, except Wiig's character is so repressed she doesn't even giggle for half the movie. But basically, Hader tries to commit suicide at the beginning. He's living in L.A. He's a gay, out-of-work actor, making a living waiting tables. And who we sense has had kind of a crazy past herself, she's trying to walk the straight and narrow. She's working as a dental hygienist in her upstate New York hometown. She comes to get Hader, brings him back to live with her and her husband, who's wonderfully played by Luke Wilson, who I think is underrated a lot. We think of Owen Wilson, but Luke Wilson is really funny in this movie. He just plays a guy who is so sure of himself in a kind of, the heroine calls her a nature frat boy, that he accepts everything. He welcomes the presence of his nutty brother-in-law. He loves the eccentricities of his wife, and you really feel bad when she kind of breaks his heart. But the movie is mostly about how these two, this brother and sister, overcome 10 years of not talking to each other.
Any good?
And build a relationship.
Good stuff then, huh?
Yeah, actually, well, because of them, it's great. Again, the movie's a little too soap opera-y and formula for me, but those actors are great, and I loved watching them work.
And Luke, to make sure people know, is the Wilson brother who does not have a nose that's shaped like a little baby's butt.
Oh.
Well, Michael Strego, it's always great to hear from you. It sounds like you kind of like almost everything. This weekend's offerings,
to different degrees. I'd say Dolphin's Tail and Skeleton Twins are the ones to see.
Very good. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week. That's Michael Strego. Read his reviews online at LosAngelesRegister.com. You know, when we saw the additional elevator video of Ray Rice cold cocking his girlfriend, then hearing her make excuses for the guy, and then going on to marry him, we wonder why she isn't running away from him as fast as she can. And it makes me wonder, and perhaps it does you as well, why do women stay with their abusive partners? We try to get some answers to that question and more next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron, Jay, and Chris are here. And we have an update on the Ray Rice investigation. Of course, the FBI and the NFL all investigating the beating incident between Ray and his now wife. Jay, what's the latest?
Well, a couple of owners are actually going to be working with Mueller, and the NFL's released this statement. It's very quick. We have spoken with Mr. Mueller today, and he has informed us that he is prepared to begin immediately. No timeline has been established, and we stress that we should take as much time as necessary to complete a thorough investigation.
All right. A little bit of a wait and see kind of message there.
Yeah.
I want to introduce to you Tulin Smiley. She's the Director of Special Projects for the Center for the Pacific Asian Family. She has served as the first vice chair of the Los Angeles County Domestic Violence Council. And she joins us now, Tu Lin. Thank you very much. When you saw the video of Ray Rice dragging his unconscious fiancée, Janae Palmer, out of an elevator car, what was your reaction?
You know, it actually was very, very graphic. And really, the first time I saw it, it made me physically sick. My stomach was just churning at the level of violence that was depicted.
Yeah, and now more video has surfaced. It shows the 1-2 punch that knocked her out. But more importantly, she is, Palmer is now Mrs. Ray Rice. And it makes me ask the question, why?
You know, that's not an uncommon question, but I think it's misdirected in the sense that it refocuses domestic violence on the victim in this case. There are many, many reasons why a victim would stay in an abusive relationship. There have been probably, in this relationship, years and years of psychological abuse and control. I'm sure that Mrs. Rice is now in fear of her husband, and the number one reason why a victim would stay in an abusive situation is fear. Either fear for themselves because they have been threatened and belittled and demeaned for years, or fear for the safety of their children. And in this case, it may be that, you know, he has made some threats against her, like, if you leave me, I'll kill you, or if I can't have you, no one else will. Those are no one else will. That's very, very common.
But she's not alone. I mean, assuming she has family and all of this, and they got married, I don't know if it was at a justice of the peace, but if it was at a wedding ceremony, the officiant gives the audience a chance to speak their piece. Apparently nobody did. So is this a larger issue?
It absolutely is a larger issue. It's a societal and a community issue in the sense that domestic violence still, in this day and age, is in large part considered to be a private issue between two people. And what we're missing in that is that it doesn't just affect the two people involved. It affects their children, it affects their family, and it affects all the people around them, whether it's the people they work with. Generally speaking, in the case, and it may be the case in this situation, The victim is quite often isolated from her family and friends. That's a very, very common feature of domestic violence. And she may not have felt able to leave him. She may not have felt that she had anywhere to go. The lack of financial resources. I mean, in this case, he's making a considerable amount of money. He may be the sole provider in their family. And so the lack of financial wherewithal may have helped her to stay in this relationship as well.
So help me understand the public comments of support for the batterer, making excuses for the batterer. Does that come directly from fear, or is there another level of, I don't know, even know if it's psychosis involved?
I wouldn't make it rise to the level of psychosis. There is a level of fear. There is the public face of this, which is no one wants to appear to be the victim. Nobody wants to be the abused person in a relationship. Nobody wants to have that public image. And so there may be some of that aspect of it. But there also may be genuine love there. These relationships don't start out of nothing. They may have started in a great cycle of love and care and devolved over time into an abusive and violent relationship. And sometimes people cling to that idea of, you know, this is the person that I love, and they start making excuses for them. Or the person, as part of the cycle of violence, has said, you know, I realize I made a mistake here. I'll never do it again. I love you. It'll never happen again. Let me make it up to you. And the victim may start to believe those kind of stories, that things will get better, or that the person will get the help that they need. So there are a lot of things coming into play here, and we haven't really seen her side of the story. So I'm not really ready to judge what's going on in her situation.
So generally speaking, is there a way out? Can family or others intervene to get these battered syndrome women, if you want to call them that, out of a relationship like this? And then if they do, the batterer is still out there unless he's in custody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's the criminal aspects of that. But in terms of assistance for the victims involved, and the victims, I have to tell you, are not always women, although nationally the statistics show that 85% of the victims are women. Men can be victims as well. But there are a lot of services out there to assist the victim to leave her batterer or leave his batterer in these relationships. So, for example, CPAF, my agency that I work at, the Center for the Pacific Asian Family, we provide confidential shelter, we provide counseling and paraprofessional counseling, we provide food, clothing, and other social resources and help for the victims and their children. Because one of the reasons why people stay, as I mentioned earlier, is because there's threats to the children. So if we can provide a safe place for the victim and his or her children, they're more likely to leave the abusive situation.
How can somebody get more information about that?
Absolutely. In L.A. And nationally, there are 1-800 help crisis line numbers. In CPAF's number, and we serve all of L.A. County, the 800 number is 800-339-3940. L.A. County has a DV hotline, which is 800-978-3600. And the L.A. County Social Services hotline, if you're looking for an immediate shelter or someplace to go just in the immediate situation, you can dial 211 and you can get passed into a local shelter agency.
Gotcha.
All of us will provide services free of charge to the victim and their children.
Yes, very good. Well, thank you for your thoughts on this and helpful information. Tulin Smiley, she's the director of special projects for the Center for the Pacific Asian Family and has in the past for several years served as the first vice chair of the Los Angeles County Domestic Violence Council. And this story is not unlike many stories out there, but it's just a high-profile one because, first of all, we have the video, and it gets played ad nauseum online, and you'll probably see the new
it's
video.
It's not even online, Phil.
On TV,
me.
Right.
I see it on ESPN over and over and over, and I'm like, kids are watching ESPN.
Right.
And what are you doing?
And all the discussion about, you know, whether the punishment by the NFL is appropriate, and it's going to cast a shadow on at least the beginning of the season here.
Well, it's not over. The investigation and the penalties and the who's going to go down and who's responsible for this, none of that is over. This is going to be stretched out for a while, guaranteed.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. We have so much coming up in our second hour. We appreciate you. The first hour is already over.
That is correct.
There were 60 minutes in this hour, right?
I believe so.
I think we used them up in a hurry. Hey, Jay, you have your eyes on one of those Apple watches, don't you? The iWatch?
I do.
Well, those are coming out pretty soon, and I don't even know what's so cool about those anyway.
It's a watch and a phone.
Well, we'll compare Jay's fantasy with reality when our tech guy joins us in our second hour. Plus, the Catholic Church is taking devil worshiping to court, and there's a purse made out of what? Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about the most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. In fact, I'm smiling right now. This hour, if you're just getting used to your iPhone 5, start falling out of love with it in a hurry because our tech guy will preview the next iteration of that popular phone. Plus, you think you're smart? We have a list of the smartest countries, and hopefully we're on it. The friends are here. Aaron Myers, Jay Cappadonia, Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. And Aaron, it's a battle of the religions, I guess.
Yes, good versus evil, some might say, in this situation. In Oklahoma, a devil-worshipping group is set to host a satanic black mass despite protests from residents and a lawsuit from the Catholic Church because they believe the group is actually in possession of a wafer, which Catholics believe is the body of Christ. So organizers of the mass say it's still going to go on, but it will be tamer than some traditional satanic ceremonies, like using vinegar instead of urine. So that's good. And it has generated controversy as well because black masses are said to mock Christianity and their rituals. But that being said, all tickets for the September 21st event have been sold. And there are a couple rules. Yeah, all sold. There will be no bloodletting at the event.
Oh.
Yes, so none of that allowed. And a woman will be on the altar, but she will have to be in lingerie, as no nudity is allowed either due to state laws.
What do they do with the woman when she's there in her lingerie on the altar?
They're not saying, but if you've ever, you know, watched these kind of movies, just use your imagination.
Oh.
It's never a good thing, that poor lady.
Oh,
but at least she's clothed, semi-clothed in this one.
Okay.
But yeah, Catholic Church, not so happy about this, and a lot of residents either.
And they're going to court. Well, it seems to me that taking this to court is what are they suing? Freedom of association, freedom of religion, freedom of what is it? I mean, aren't they suing themselves inadvertently?
They're pretty much, I mean, they're saying that they just, it's the possession of something that's theirs.
Oh.
Which is the wafer.
The wafer thing.
The wafer.
Yeah,
yes.
But it has to be blessed in order for it to become the body of Christ. And you can go to a store and just buy a box of wafers.
Well, it sounds like they think this is one of those real wafers has been blessed already.
Yeah.
So, but not happy devil. There.
What they should do then is infiltrate, buy a couple of tickets, infiltrate, you know, show up like a couple of devil worshipers and under their devil worshiping cloaks, because you have to wear a cloak, right?
They say, yeah, you're supposed to wear a dark hooded cloak and be ominous.
They could have some real honest to goodness blessed holy water. And when the ceremony begins, they could start splashing it on the stage and the people will burn like it's acid.
They'll melt.
Yes.
Like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Exactly.
So this could get way more exciting than we thought it would be then.
Yeah. Am I getting in any trouble here?
No.
Feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com is our email address.
Do you remember the satanic ceremony in the movie Dragnet with Tom Hanks? And who is that guy? I can't think of his name.
The other guy.
Yeah. And they wore the goat chaps and they walked around and they had to go, hey, sorry. Greatest movie. Top 10.
Dan Aykroyd was
there. Dan Aykroyd!
Very good. All right. Well, while we're on the dragnet, we're looking for drug smugglers. And sometimes you get some surprises, don't you?
Yes, and places you would never expect it. In Plattsburgh, New York, state police say they've arrested a 22-year-old man after he was found with marijuana, cocaine, and LSD hidden inside a cute little stuffed animal that was dressed in an anti-drug T-shirt.
Whoa!
Yes. Yeah, so it gets even better.
It was a dare bear? Is that what it
was? It was a dare lion. It did have the dare shirt, which is drug abuse resistance education. And, well, he got caught with 2 grams of pot, 0.5 gram of cocaine, and LSD. And, not the smartest thing. And it was a cute little lion, too,
yes.
So I feel bad.
How about that? You feel bad for the lion?
Oh, yes.
All right.
It's now forever tainted.
Well, you're still relatively new to the show here, Aaron Myers. And,
yes.
But I think what you found out is that you're sitting at a table full of meat eaters, and especially Jay and I love the burgers. How about you, Chris? You're a big burger fan?
Yeah. I had a Carl's Jr. Big Texas burger on my way over here.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Aaron, they're taking burgers to the next level in Japan,
yes,
aren't they?
Yes, they are. So this is for all three of you then. Burger King in Japan is making a black burger. It's a goth-like burger. It's going to have black buns, black cheese, black sauce. And I guess they do this with bamboo charcoal, and they melt the cheese to look very tar-like, and they use squid ink to help get the color with everything.
That squid ink's tasty.
Squid ink, yes.
In the hell.
If you're a burger lover, you have to at least try it, though.
No, you don't.
Well, what?
They eat squid ink everywhere.
I've had squid ink.
No, they don't.
But here.
No.
I've had squid ink.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. Some frou-frou restaurant, they put squid ink in their brulee.
And what'd you pay? $100 for that plate because it said squid ink?
I had a Groupon.
What, squid ink for you
squid ink,
and,
yes.
Yeah, and your friends?
Yeah.
Oh, get out of here.
Well, it's one of those things where it's a novelty. You could look around at the table and say, look at me, I'm eating squid ink.
Yeah,
and,
well, who's that first?
It's on my teeth.
Who's the first jerk that says, hey, you know what? I want to eat that.
Just don't take a date with a squid ink then if you're thinking with the
well,
teeth thing.
Well, sooner or later, you know, the chef says, okay, we're going to use, we have this squid, and we're going to respect the fact that it gave its life for this meal. We're going to use every bit of it. Look at this squid ink. There's got to be some purpose. Let me taste it.
We could write
that
with
squid
it.
Ink's tasty. Let's throw it in here.
No.
Use it for coloring and use it for flavor.
Well, have you had paella from Spain?
No.
At all? Okay. They use squid ink in that a lot, too. And apparently, like, that's the best paella if you're Spanish. So.
Whatever.
Did I detect a little accent from you, with paella from Spain?
Paella.
From Spain?
I dated a Spaniard for a long time, so I pretend
I
know the accent.
See, I thought I heard a southern accent when you said from Spain.
Yeah. From Spain?
Yeah.
I could do that one,
Is
too.
There something in there?
I don't know.
A little southern?
I probably watch too much TV.
Oh.
You know, speaking of fast food, McDonald's just trademarked the McBrunch.
What? Really?
What about that?
Yeah, the McBrunch.
Do we owe money every time we say McBrunch?
Not yet. I don't think so. Because they're not making money off it yet.
So I could put it on a T-shirt for a couple of weeks?
Maybe. Yeah. Well, maybe not now, but...
Phil Hewlett's McBrunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. They haven't figured out what's going to be on the menu or if they're going to have, like, mimosas. But can you imagine,
really?
Like, a sausage egg McMuffin and a mimosa?
But perfect. Mimosas and don't go well with McDonald's drive-through type situation.
Yeah.
Well, you can't get it in the drive-through, but some, you know, bougie, you know, Times Square McDonald's, I'm sure you can
fancy,
get.
The bougie fancy, ones. Yeah.
What do you
ones?
Put in the kids' meal for McBrunch?
I don't know. Sleeping pills.
Yeah.
Good night, kids.
Jello.
Yeah.
The little Jello squares. Well, all right. We have a disturbing story, Jay, but you may want to contribute your money to it, as a matter of fact.
We love the Kickstarter around here. We love it. If you listen to the program, we first brought you the Kickstarter potato salad story, where the guy raised close to 100 grand because he was going to make potato salad one day.
Lovely.
Lovely. Right? Well, a woman has now started a Kickstarter campaign to create purses. Stick with me here,
all
okay?
Right. Good. Purses.
They're fancy purses. They're bougie purses. You know, girls are going to want them. Girls are going to love them. Well, they're made out of dog hair.
Wait a minute. Girls are going to want those?
Girls are going to want these.
Wait a minute. Trust. Another hairy purse story?
Yeah, I can pet hairy my purse.
Aaron, a dog hair purse? Aaron?
Okay, no.
Let me explain to
no.
you. Let me explain to you. She basically runs a dog grooming service, and she takes the hair that have just come off the dog, and then she goes, I bet I can make a purse. Well, she did, and they're about $1,000 a piece right now.
Oh, they need to charge more so she can sell more of them.
At least she's not skinning them. That makes me feel better.
Yes, it's
no.
She's taking the fur that has been groomed.
No dogs were injured in the making of these purses.
She is looking for 15 grand. There's still more than 2 months to go. She's only raised 350 bucks so far. Critics are
She's got a PR issue to deal with.
Critics are calling her Cruella de Vil.
Really?
Because Cruella de Vil had purse made out of dog.
Yeah.
Dalmatians.
Yeah,
right,
yes.
Exactly.
In that case, though.
But she killed them.
Yeah, they were skinned.
Right, exactly. Cruella de Vil did.
Yes.
Not this woman. This woman just wants to take the used hair and recycle it.
But does she have one of those big Duesenberg cars with the long hood on it? And the
pipe sticking out the front?
Yeah.
My thing with this, though, too, is dogs, if you have them and you love them, even when they're groomed, they can be very dirty. They roll around in all sorts of not pleasant things.
You pick the hair off the ground, you wash it, then you glue it to an already existing purse. Now you got a dog hair purse.
How does that gluing process go?
I don't know.
So
that's got to be tedious.
Yeah.
You don't forget Paris Hilton and the dog in the bag. Now the dog is the bag.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Well, now
girls are going to want this.
You set your purse down and the dogs are going to come sniffing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And then you're going to have boots. Those are next. Belts, they're next. Then little earrings, I'm guessing.
Again, it goes back to the squid ink. You want to use everything.
Oh, come on.
Nothing goes to waste. Right? I mean, we're a society that just throws everything in the ash can. And in this case, you're going to save it and make something of it.
She's
$1,000
purse. An entrepreneur.
Yes.
Aaron, what is it about purses? the more expensive they are, the more the ladies want them. Even if it's maybe it would cost you $10 to make it because some poor craftsperson in Guatemala made you this purse out of leather or whatever, sewed it personally, and you paid them 50 cents. And now you sell it for $2,000, and every lady on the planet wants it.
I think it just takes one celeb to wear it, and then every girl's like, I have to have that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because, I mean, hey, I'm all about, you know, buying bags that are $20 downtown.
Yeah.
Because they last just as long, and you don't have to worry about spending that kind of money, because they get ruined. But
I don't know. Some of the Louis the GF has, those are like really well made. I'm like surprised at how well they're made.
Really? Yeah. I have three nice bags, three to my name, and I used them maybe once a year on very special occasions because
exactly.
I get paranoid that I'm going to destroy it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, Louis, they'll send that purse back to Guatemala to get it fixed. You know, anytime that. I think they have a guarantee or a warranty
they'll
or something
the
like that.
They'll get the same teenager in the sweatshop to fix it?
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Gosh, no, I don't know how that
We
works.
Have unconfirmed reports.
Unconfirmed. And we have a Twitter account if you want to comment there. Faf Show, PHAF Show. All right, so up next on this here program, Chris Martin's near-death experience. That's coming up next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. I don't know if you listen to this show all the time, but if you do, congratulations. You win! It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Our website is philhewlettandfriends.com. If you miss any of our episodes, they're all there on the homepage, including the show from 2 days ago, in which our very own Chris Martin was attempting to get out of Arizona, which had been attacked by a haboob, which is a warm dust storm. And then
a made-up word.
And then followed by torrential downpour of rain. But this was Tuesday, and he was on the Interstate 10, and I had no idea, Chris, what you'd just been through before you went on the air, because you had your whole rap figured out, but somehow we didn't find out until today before we went on the air that you almost died.
Yeah, I did. I had the most literal sense of a near-death experience. I was on my way out, like I told you guys, I was 25 miles outside of Phoenix, and I called into the show, but I was a little bit early, and I got Mike Stark on the phone, and he said, yeah, you know, we haven't even taken our break yet. We're about 5 minutes out. And it had just started to rain. So I told Mike, our producer, I said, can you hear the rain? How's the ambient noise? And he says, you know, it's not the greatest connection. So call back in 5 minutes. So I hang up. And the minute I hang up, the rain picks up. I'm standing under this outlier monsoon cloud. And the rain picks up heavily. And it had been raining in this area for a while. And I'm doing 80, maybe over 80. And I'm on cruise control. And the I-10 is pretty wide open at this point because it's a Tuesday afternoon.
Wow.
Well, I drive into this lake of a puddle that is the I-10, and in my mind, I'm thinking, I need to slow down and find an exit to make this phone call. And the minute I think that, I tap my brake to get off my cruise control, and it was too late. My wheels had broken loose, and I was hydroplaning at over 80 miles an hour on the I-10 freeway and instantly brake sideways to the left. And now I'm doing 80 sideways, facing the eastbound traffic. My truck dumps down into the basin that separates the eastbound and the westbound lanes. And in a lot of cases, you know, there's bridges there or large trees. There's a lot of things that could really ruin a vehicle. But in this case, it was pretty low brush, and it was all washed out from this rain.
Yeah.
So I slam down into this ditch. The truck bumps up and down, and my
truck tries to reset itself. And at this point, my heart has sank into the bottom of my stomach. Time seems to have stood still.
It's the I'm going to die moment.
I'm very loose with my hands and my body on the wheel. The truck tries to recorrect itself, facing back towards the westbound lane. And I am doing at least 65 sideways in the ditch on a puddle facing the westbound lane as cars are going by. I look out my driver's side window and I have this hard polymer cover on the bed of my truck, my midsize truck. The abruptness of the hit and the wind ripped my tonneau cover off, ripped the hydraulic pumps that hold it up off, the pins right out of it, and I look out and my tonneau cover is spinning end over end like a ninja star on the ground. And I could see it outside
Holy
my window.
Cow.
All this is happening in slow motion, you know?
Yeah.
And everything comes to a slow stop at the end of that. And my heart is racing, you know, and now I'm starting to calm down that I had lived through the experience. I get out and this rain is dumping so hard. Within 3 seconds of getting out, I'm soaked. My tonneau cover is across the way. I have to run out and grab it and muscle this like 6-foot by 5-foot heavy plastic cover, throw it back on my truck.
Across highway lanes?
No. In the midsection, mine had got, the tonneau cover got almost all the way over to the eastbound lane. And I had to walk through a almost ankle deep puddle to go get it. I put it back on. I sit in my truck. I'm soaked from head to toe. Now my truck is soaked and I'm panting and I look at my phone and I realize I'm 3 minutes late for the phone call. So I turn my Bluetooth on. I fire my truck back up. I turn my Bluetooth on and I said, "Hey guys, long time listener, first time caller, love the show."
You need to go back and listen to our previous show and listen how calm he is.
I'm
you
shocked.
Had no idea that any of that had just happened. Mm-hmm. I would have skipped the interview.
Yeah.
And I would have just laid there and stared up at the heavens and thank God that I'm still alive.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, and I thought about that. I thought about bringing up the incident that just happened, but really I wanted to get through it. I wanted to get through it and get back onto the road and get back into trying to process what had just happened.
That's amazing.
That took some composure.
It is amazing. But here's the problem I have with all of that.
Go ahead.
Why are we learning about this now? Why wasn't that the topic of your phone call?
I know. And that's what I was saying I had thought about, but then I didn't. I wanted to get that segment over with, kind of. That was partly my thought.
It was your job to tell us about the haboob and what Arizona had just encountered.
Right, right. And I wanted to stick through the script and then get back on the road. You know, one last funny thing, as we finish the phone call, right then a sheriff pulls up.
Yeah.
So I go this whole 15 minutes without any – nobody stops and even checks on me. People saw me flipping through the ditch.
Yeah.
But the sheriff comes up. The minute he pulls up –
oh, there goes another one.
The minute he pulls up. The clouds disappear.
Yeah.
The rain stops. The sun comes out, and the cop walks up and goes, "Hey, are you all right?" And I was like, yeah, you know. I hydroplane through the ditch, and he said, "Okay, cool, yeah, listen, it's a good thing you stayed relaxed. Most people overcorrect, and they end up flipping 70 times. But you only flipped two or three times. I'm telling you, if it would have been dry, the rain caused it, but then it also saved me, because if it would have been dry, my two driver's side wheels would have caught as I was going sideways, and I would have just flipped NASCAR style.
Is this truck in the parking lot?
It is, yeah. And my tonneau cover's bashed up. You can see the two corners are completely torn.
We need to go take a picture and post a picture of it.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because there are insurance adjusters who listen to this program.
But the rest of my truck is fine. No damage to the rest of the body. Just the tonneau cover that flew off because I stayed upright the whole way.
How about that?
There it is.
Hey, wow. Okay, again, listen to the previous show and just listen to how calm and collected he is. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're ever rude to a waiter or waitress, do you ever do that? You ever say, "Take this food back, you"?
There's been times.
Yeah?
You know, if you don't want to be called a server, then,
just saying. Maybe this will change your mind. A new survey of 430 food servers, hosts, bartenders, asked them how they handle bad customers, and here are their top 12 answers. I'm going to start with number 12. I'm going to work back. They deal with it by threatening them, 5%. 6% say doing something gross to their food. We'll just leave it there.
Of course.
Yummy.
11% increasing their tip without permission.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because you may not even notice that.
That does happen.
Especially after a couple cocktails. You're just like, whatever.
14. Well, yeah, but then you're a month later, you get your statement from your bank. You may not even realize it. 14% insult you. 19% confront you about your tip. 25% refuse a perfectly reasonable request. So after you've been rude to them, you say, "Can I have a little more water?" No.
Oh, we're out.
Only one glass per person.
43%, yeah. And now it jumps. Now, these are the serious aggressors. They start arguing with you right there in the restaurant.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you should be fired.
52% become rude right back at you.
Fired.
61% completely ignore you. I thought, you know.
That's happened.
Yeah, and I'm not, was I rude? 65% purposely make you wait longer for your order.
Yeah.
78% lie to you. I don't know what they lie to you about.
Yeah.
I didn't put anything in your food. 79%, this is number one, make fun of you behind your backs.
Of course.
I think they do that even when you're not rude.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just do it. Yeah.
Because look at how you act. Look
or
at
that
you.
Outfit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What is he wearing? Oh, my God.
I know. Hey, are you packing up the pup tent and the kids and the sleeping bag to get in line for the next iPhone? Or how about that Apple iWatch? Like Jay. He's got his camping gear in the truck, ready to go. Or are you completely broke because of that data breach at Home Depot? And you won't be getting anything anytime soon. Well, don't worry about it. Our tech guy is going to join us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're checking our watch to see if we're getting any phone calls here on Phil Hewlett and Friends with me, Phil Hewlett, Aaron Myers, Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin, and our tech guy, Jeremy Antoconi, is here. Jeremy.
What's up, gang?
Hey, doing real well. I guess it's a big week for Apple. There's the iPhone 6. They announced that, and the Apple iWatch. We want to find out all about that, your early impressions about what's coming. Tell us.
Yeah, lots of stuff. Of course, they went back to the Flint Center and made their announcements there. That's where Steve Jobs unveiled the first Macintosh. That's where he unveiled the iMac. So when they did announce that the presentation would be at the Flint Center, obviously people started kind of going into this fury of what's about to happen, and you know, trying to determine if just the significance of the location was going to really, you know, kind of tell the story as to what they were going to announce. And as expected, they announced the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. So we've got big and bigger. They also, of course, announced the Apple Watch, which, of course, many people were expecting them to do. But I think that what's really going to steal the show in terms of the long-term effect is the payment processing, the actual Apple Pay functionality that is baked into all of these devices, where you essentially will be scanning your credit cards in and then not having to actually get them out to swipe them and use them when you're making purchases in the future. So
was that a feature in the Amazon phone?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know that that the Amazon phone has that same level of functionality. Certainly, it doesn't have the fingerprint scanner and the ability for it to do tokenized transactions. So what really, if we boil down all of the really technical stuff as to why this is going to be really important and more secure than what we have now, it's based on tokenization. And what that means is that when you make a purchase or do a transaction, instead of your name and your credit card number being used, which is what happens now, a one-time code is used. And so that is then given to the vendor, and they then, you know, verify that that's a valid token, and then they are able to complete the transaction.
So it's a very secure way of doing business.
It is a very secure way of doing business, and also, of course, you know, limits their information on you. So right now, when they scan your card at a point of sale, they've got your name, they've got your credit card number, and you know how oftentimes they'll ask you, well, what's your zip code? With that information, if they've got your name and your zip code, they're able to then use that with all of these other information databases that are out there and essentially have as much marketing information as
Ooh.
Possible on you.
Yeah.
So with this method, they're not going to know who you are or what you're purchasing, which is kind of cool.
Gotcha. That is cool. Well, beyond that very cool thing, does the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, do they do stuff Androids do?
You know, I would say that they probably do stuff that Androids do, and I'm sure that there's a lot of Android users that are saying, okay, well, you know, what's the big deal? We've had this stuff for quite some time. But I think that, you know, what Apple does, when they do something, they do it really, really well. It never feels half-baked or kind of shooting from the hip. And so, you know, it's one of the problems that they constantly had talked about with the, you know, larger screens is, how do you use it when you are holding it in one hand? if you take a look at the iPhone 6 Plus, I don't know if you've been able to kind of visualize how large this thing is, but it's fairly massive. I mean, it's a big, big device.
It's an iPad mini.
You know what? That's funny. I was actually at a conference this week, and at the morning of the conference, I actually had my iPad mini on the table. And I got three or four people by saying, hey, I've got the iPhone 6 Plus right here. I got a pre-release version of it. And they're amazed. That's fantastic. Oh, I love the size. You're not very smart,
yeah,
are you?
Exactly.
4.7-inch screen size. And the average – the old iPhones were what, 3.5?
So the original iPhones were 3.5. Then we went up to 4 inches with the iPhone 5, and then the 5S, of course, also had a 4-inch screen. The iPhone 6 jumps all the way up to 4.7. The 6 Plus goes all the way up to 5.5 inches.
Wow, so that is huge.
It's a massive device. So I mean, if you do a comparison, if you want to talk Android to Apple comparison, mm-hmm. the Galaxy S5 is pretty similar in size to the iPhone 6, and then the 6 Plus is probably on par with like their Note product.
The Note is huge,
much larger.
And
much
for me, it just seems a little large, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know though, and it's one of those things where I always kind of laughed when I saw people actually using a Galaxy Note as their phone. It just kind of looks funny, but as more and more people have been using them, I'm looking at my iPhone 5, wondering, I could get used to using a larger device, but certainly wasn't going to happen.
Yeah,
on
but you
Android.
Can't put it in your pocket. That's the thing.
Well, man, it's a great reason to get a satchel.
Aaron.
Yeah, a satchel. Yeah.
Antoni, you be quiet now.
Come on, hey, cargo pants.
Satchel is better than man purse, so there you go.
It's a merce. Jeez. Get some cargo shorts going.
There are some other cool features that I wanted to bring up. They
yes,
have 240 frames per second slow-mo video in the new iPhone 6 and the 6 Plus, so you'll be able to take some pretty cool video. And another thing that was awesome, we had talked about
the slow-mo on the iPhone 5 right now is 120, so they basically doubled it.
That's right.
That's an after effect, or do you record in slow-mo?
You record in slow-mo, so you're able to do it.
That's awesome.
That frame
rate. I have friends who want to use it for their golf swing to see what they're doing wrong.
Oh, God.
Hey, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to record in slow-mo?
I did hummingbirds. Thank you very much.
Well,
it's awesome.
Aww,
if you had asked me what you would have recorded in slow-mo, hummingbirds would not have even come on the list.
No.
Stick with the show, my friend. I'll surprise you every day.
I thought sure it was going to have something to do with, starting with the spaghetti and then slurping it all up.
Now, that's an idea.
Yeah. Until the whole plate. Then you make your vine where the whole plate disappears.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. All right. Okay, back to you, Jeremy.
And I did have one other tip for you, which is, every year I've bought the latest iPhone. And so, of course, when this time came around, I was not eligible for an upgrade, and I did not particularly want to spend $800 on the new device. So I called up AT&T and asked for their retention department and let them know that because of all of the special offers that the other carriers have, with Verizon's offering a free iPhone 6 if you turn in an existing working iPhone, other ones will pay your whole family's termination fee to switch carriers and so forth. I called up, asked for the retention department, told them that I was seriously considering switching, and they made me immediately eligible to get the latest iPhone at the discounted price. So certainly something that you may want to do if you're not currently eligible for an upgrade.
And did they mention to you during that conversation that you should publicly espouse this process?
They didn't. They did tell me that I was a very valued long-term customer. And that they would hate to see me go. And I, kind of thought that if they feel that way about me, maybe that will feel that way about you, too.
How about that? And did you come away with a fancy watch as well?
I didn't. And, there's lots of fancy watches out there and a lot of companies that are trying to come up with this smart watch. But, of course, Apple kind of sat back and was waiting for the right time and place to do so. You can't purchase one right now. Of course, they did announce that it would be available in early 2015. So you'll have to wait a little while. And, of course, they've got lots of stuff on their website to get you excited about it. I'm on the fence. This is oftentimes when a new product comes out, I will have just a burning desire to have it.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling that currently for the watch.
How about if you're a big jogger, you go out there and it's got the heart rate and accelerometer
possibly.
Built into it,
I think that you know, there are some cool things, and it, the interface is certainly a novel approach to how do you cram lots of information into a very small screen and make it very usable. I think one of the problems with a lot of the current smartwatches is that you're sitting there, you know, touching it and trying to pinch and zoom and do all of these things on a very tiny screen. So Apple's approach is to use something called a digital crown. So on a typical watch, you've got your crown, which you would use to wind the watch or to set the time and date functions. This will allow you to actually interact with the device to zoom in and out or to change different dates and other functions on the screen by twisting the digital crown.
Yeah.
And then, of course, lots of functionality that they're going to bring in that, of course, is related to your smartphone, text messages, alerts from, apps that you're receiving, notifications for driving directions, heart and other fitness tracking and navigation. So there's lots of things that I think are going to be really beneficial. Yeah.
Until I can fire off a laser beam from my watch, I think I'm staying on the fence.
Yeah, I think that for me it's kind of chunky. It's portly almost. It's portly. I mean, if you look at it from the side, it resembles the original iPhone to me.
Yeah.
And I think they're definitely going to make it thinner. They're definitely going to make it better. And I think that for me, at least for now, I'm going to sit on the fence.
Yeah, sounds like a workout.
That V2. Yeah.
All right. Now, we still are reeling from the report that the most massive data breach ever, from all estimations, occurred at a couple thousand Home Depots across this country. And I, for one, have done a fair amount of business in the last 6 months at Home Depot with my credit card. Not my bank check card, but with my credit card. So I feel a little bit more safe. In fact, I've contacted them already, and they said, not to worry. Just keep monitoring your account. If you see anything, we'll take care of you. But just the same, how massive was this? I know you've been taking a look at it.
You know, it is another just gigantic hack. And, we're going to see more and more of these things. And I think that, the ones that are being publicly reported, obviously, are scary stuff. But what concerns me is what doesn't get reported. People that are exposing this information, there are, just millions and millions of credit card numbers and passwords and everything being exposed out there. So, definitely scary stuff. But for me, I'm not terribly worried about it. I do definitely shop at the Home Depot, have used my card there, but I'm not terribly concerned about it.
How do we do business in the near future here now? If we want to just is there a techie way of doing business where we could feel more safe, like that thing you talked about in the new iPhone?
Yeah, one of the things that Home Depot has had for some time now is actually PayPal integration. And so, I've got a PayPal account. My cards are linked to my PayPal account, and I'm able to actually use that at the point of sale. There aren't a whole lot of retailers that have that functionality, but that's one of the things that I have used at Home Depot, which makes it kind of nice that they don't have your credit card. But, there are, with the iPhone 6 and the 6 Plus, the fact that, the card number itself will never be given to the merchant is going to be a huge thing. And I think that we're going to see more and more of that. As these companies that are actually powering Apple Pay for Apple, continue to build the technology out, they're going to make it available outside of Apple. And so I think that we're going to see more and more of that. And as you guys know, the swipe method of credit cards has been out of date for years.
Oh, yeah.
Around the world, the PIN and chip is, become the standard. And the U.S. is on track to go to that. But I think that the Apple Pay stuff and the tokenization actually has the potential to leapfrog over that and make it, the cutting-edge payment functionality.
Stay ahead of the hackers, Jeremy. That's what we need to do. Stay ahead of the hackers.
Exactly.
All right. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Get some more tech out of you. Jeremy Antoconi, thanks as always.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right. There you go. See what we learned? Maybe that iPhone 6 sounds pretty cool.
It's huge.
Yeah.
The Plus is huge.
It is. It's like a Galaxy Note.
It's too big.
Which is too big for me. But just the same, some of the stuff. I like what he's talking about in terms of doing business, with the tokenization. Is that what he called it?
Yeah.
He did. I was trying not to feel offended when he said tokenization. I thought he was talking about me. Token host. All right. Where are we going next? Oh. I'm not going to tell you, but it's next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula.
Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080. Or visit spiritmarine.com.
So glad you tuned in today. What a show. Here at Phil Hewlett and Friends. And we talk all the time about taking selfies and how maybe we should just as a society stop it. And I do have some tips for taking the perfect selfie.
Wait. Selfie stories?
Yeah.
May I?
Oh,
I've got two
please.
Fantastic stories.
After you.
Thank you, sir. Listen up, folks. A Spanish gravedigger has been suspended from his job after taking a photo with a corpse.
No. A selfie with a corpse.
Selfie with a corpse. Evidently, the man's body had been exhumed because the niece of the man wanted to have the grave extended, and I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Oh, he was taller than what they bought initially?
Bingo.
Yeah.
So they dug him up, and they stood him up, and the guy took a couple photos with it.
Yeah.
The guy then posted it to social media.
Big mistake. Yeah.
Big mistake, especially when you're friends with your boss.
Don't think that's on my tips for taking the perfect selfie.
Here's another one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Jesus statues around the world, right?
Yeah.
Tons and tons and tons. This one in particular in Pennsylvania.
Uh-oh.
There's a Jesus kneeling.
Yeah.
Some punk 14-year-old kid stood up in front of the Jesus kneeling. Now, can you picture this? Jesus kneeling.
Yeah.
Kid standing in front of it.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. We got you. Okay. We're with
you. And then
you.
Posted that picture to Facebook.
And he's in trouble.
He is facing charges and facing death threats from many people online.
Oh.
Wow.
That's yes. not very...
Death threats from
holy.
No. forgiving Christians?
I'm sure. I'm sure they all are.
All right. So here are the tips then. If you want to take the perfect selfie, don't do what either of those two guys did, but do...
That's number one.
Stand or sit up straight and then relax. The idea is you want to have a good posture but not look tense. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Lean in toward the camera a little. Not way in or you'll look weird. But doing it a little gives you some energy.
It sounds okay, so scientific right now.
I'm doing this. So I'm sitting up.
All right. Yeah.
Now I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
Lean in
a little bit. Now look away, then turn and smile just in time for the photo. It prevents you from ending up with that fake smile look on your face.
I can't even do that with a straight face.
No, you have to practice this. And then look straight into the lens. It's tempting to look at the screen, but you figure out where the lens is on your camera. Because when you do that, if you look at the screen, that is, you'll end up looking like you didn't quite know where the camera was.
Oh, see, I looked right at myself.
Well, see? There
now
you go.
I look like I'm looking off. No, that is ridiculous.
It's hard to take a good selfie.
It is.
It is very tough.
I'm sure it is, Aaron. Real difficult.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
No.
I know.
You go to Aaron's website and to her Facebook page, and you'll see that some professional chappie with a camera took almost every one of her shots.
Yeah, no, right. I've tried the selfies, and I always look like I have an alien head, and so I have not been able to figure that one out yet.
Because you have one of those TV skulls, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, the extremely TV large, skull. Extremely large head. Yes.
Well, in the vernacular, they call it TVS, right?
That's very
TV
funny.
Skull.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Merv Griffin. All right. So we've talked about this on the program. Scotland going to be voting soon on their independence, whether they're going to Splitsville from the UK become an independent country. But we've been talking about secession here in the United States. One particular state has talked about secession since the dawn of statehood. Isn't that right, Chris?
Since the 1800s, really, Phil. And you're right. Scotland votes for independence from the UK on September 18th. And there's a lot of people suggesting that this could prove a point and set a precedent for Texas to do the same thing. And Governor Rick Perry, he would take notice if this vote passes. And we know that Texas flirted with seceding back in 2009. They later backpedaled. But now a group of Texas nationalists have a page together that has 190,000 signatures, which is one of those things that would cause the White House and their We the People website to have to take notice and recognize it if they chose to submit that. And maybe even recreate the Republic of Texas, which back in the mid-1800s, they were their own.
There's a whole congressional process that has to go through with that as well. And then there would be war would break out. And
right.
Big fight.
Stop talking about it.
Yeah.
I'll give you one reason why it definitely, most likely, will not happen. Because Texas has 38 electoral votes because of their size and has voted Republican every presidential election since the 1980s. So
if you secede, no Republican will ever. But see,
ever
you
be
secede,
president again.
But if you do secede from the union,
succeed in seceding.
Secede, yeah. Then you don't care who the president of the United States.
No, they would have their own president. They would have their own defense system.
Mm-hmm.
So on and so forth.
It'll come down to who has bigger helicopters.
Right.
I think.
And I think we know who will win that.
All right. We want to end the program on a nice note. Because not everything on the program today has been about nice people. But this might... Okay, get out the Kleenex. Erin has a story for you that just might get you to well up a little.
It's nice, but sad at the same time. There was a South Carolina couple, and they were found side by side in their home on Monday. And what they're saying is that the man, Dave Molter, may have been giving his wife of more than 60 years CPR when he collapsed. So they think that his last breath was given to try to save her after she, they said she collapsed. So it's kind of, very sad, very touching. And the friends of the family say that they had seen, this was the kind of love that you see in movies, not the kind you see in real life. And they thought, this would be kind of the way that it should happen for
them. The Notebook. You guys remember The Notebook?
Oh, the movie with... Rockford Files guy, James Garner, right?
Right. Yeah. And then at the end, his wife that is delusional ends up sort of recognizing him and comes back to life for one last moment before they both die together on the bed. And then I may or may not have cried, but I will not admit that.
Yeah. Same kind of situation here.
Oh, boy.
How about that? All right, I cried too.
Yeah. Oh, God.
We all did.
You were such a man when you handled your truck in the haboob around there. And now.
I'm with all these manly men here.
Damsy. Yeah.
Hey, we love your comments and feedback at Phil Hewlett and Friends. Twitter at FAF Show, PHAF Show. Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson. Production assistant, Nick Wright. Assistant in training, Nikki Lucius. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Jay Campidonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.